Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. I am your host, the Blue Liner on Point. It's middle of the day. It's a Tuesday. It's the middle of the day. Not good. But what is good is that the Caps are still alive, and tonight they play Game 6 of their Metropolitan Division Final series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that's, of course, going to be tonight at the Condemned Energy Center in Pittsburgh, PA. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And again, I have to apologize in advance. I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be. Lots of issues going on at the house and at work and everywhere else you can think of. Of course, I've been keeping an eye on the series, but this is one of those where I'm just going to right and left wing it. So bear with me if you could, please. But before we get into the Caps, let's get a little bit of league news out of the way. Let's see. It's the Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning, over the Islanders in the other Eastern Conference Division Final Series. So the winner of Caps Penguins will face the Lightning. Not an altogether easy task, but assuming the Caps come out of this, I like that matchup. I like that matchup very much. I think it'll be a very entertaining series. And our old friend Bruce Boudreau did not spend a whole lot of time on the unemployment line, did he? No. He was signed several days later by the Minnesota Wild. I'm very interested as to how that's going to work out. I'm hoping he's learned, for his sake anyway, he's learned his lesson that his style is just not conducive to winning in the playoffs, and that's really where you earn your money, as everyone knows. Also, another coaching hire took place in Ottawa. I'm going to try not to spend too much time on this one, but as everybody has probably heard by now, it's Guy Boucher, who was the coach of the Lightning and was penultimately famous for that ridiculous 1-3-1 system that he implemented that turned a lot of fans and teams off, including his own players. And despite having winning seasons, he was, from my vantage point anyway, literally run out of the league because of it. He spent the last few years in Switzerland coaching a team there to some success, and now the Senators believe that this guy is going to lead them to greatness. Well, what he's going to lead the Canadian Tire Center to is a lot of snoring. I don't know. Good luck, guys. I used to admire the Senators. I don't think I'm going to be catching any of their games anytime soon, not with this guy as the coach. And over in the West, the Western Conference, we have both divisional final series going to 7 games. The Predators managed to tie up the series in Game 6 with an overtime goal. And Stars managed to win their Game 6 to stay alive and force a Game 7 on their end. So lots of playoff excitement still left as we're getting down to the conference final series. So I caught some of the, now talking about the Caps, some of the Sports on the Hill podcast. Couldn't get the whole thing to play for some reason, but caught just enough of the first part that spoke about the series, and the two hosts, Robbie and Carol, fortunately shared my disdain for NBC's awful coverage. And unfortunately, I can't quite recall the person. I think it was either Kevin Simmons or Tony Vaccaro, but during Game 5, one of them, someone from our Caps 365 edits group, caught the fact that Mr. McGuire was bragging about Matt Murray and his ability to take away the five hole, and on the third goal that was scored in that game. I believe it was Justin Williams shot it right through the five hole, not several minutes later. So I love that, and I think we all love that moment. And I think we can all agree there were a lot of good things that we saw in Game 5. And I was talking this over with a guy I work with. We both agreed that if the team that showed up Saturday night shows up tonight and in Game 7, then there is no doubt. There should be no doubt in anyone's mind that the Washington Capitals will make it all the way back. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not as if this team hasn't done it before. Now, it may have been a while, but it's not as if it hasn't been done before. But unfortunately, we have to live in the present, and we have to live with what we've got in front of us. So with that in mind, I'm going to go over three things that do scare me heading into Game 6 tonight, and three things that don't. The three things that do scare me, well, first and foremost is the Caps' overall defensive play, specifically in their own end. If you saw that game, there were there were many moments where they looked shakier than a busy bartender is the best I can put it, making martinis, because they were falling all over themselves, running into each other, missing assignments, not clearing the crease, not doing what they do best. And this is going to conversely lead to one of the things that don't scare me later on in a bit, but it just seems like I think you all know where I'm heading with this. There's no steadying presence. There's no reliable backbone. They're relying on too much on skill and position play and not just good old fashioned sense to clear bodies out in front of the net and to not allow for sustained possession. Every time the Penguins have the puck for more than 20 seconds, and this is something to watch for, every time they have the puck, they keep the puck for more than 20 seconds in our zone, I start to get nervous. And so it's not something that should happen. They should allow to happen often, but it just happened way too many times in Game 5 for my liking and overall in this series. Now, fortunately, the Penguins weren't able to capitalize on most of those chances. So that turned into a good thing, but they have to be very careful about that. Second thing that scares me. Well, actually, before I even get into the second thing, let's go into the first thing, more detail in the defense. Japers Rink pointed this out. There was a particular pair that were taken advantage of, specifically by the Malkin line. And that was John Carlson and another guy with a Christian name of Dmitry Vladimirovich Orlov. Those two, more often than not, would be the victims of that Malkin line just completely taking advantage of them and launching shot after shot and getting dangerous chances at the net over and over again. And sometimes it was skill, sometimes it was coincidence, sometimes it was just pure dumb luck that it never went in the net, and the rest of it was good goaltending. Now, the next thing that I'm I am scared of, what will happen, the PK, the penalty kill, what will happen now that the team has been pierced for a goal? Sometimes when you have a feeling of invincibility and that perfection has been, well, it's gone. It depends on how you react. Some react when you get on a streak and it feels like you can't lose, and then you finally do. Some fall apart, some shrug it off. Others, you know, it turns into a 50-50 thing. What kind of scares me is how this team will react. Now, I don't know. I don't think it'll be to the bad, but it can weigh on you a bit when you've had one area of complete dominance and superiority over a team in an otherwise somewhat disappointing series, and you lose that momentum in that area. So it scares me a little bit that they might capitalize, they might lose that momentum, not be able to pick it back up again, that is, especially if they start falling into bad habits and making frequent trips to the box again. Now, that's an area where they can probably prove me wrong, and they probably will. And the final thing that scares me, and this is based mostly on Game 5, but perhaps also overall, and that's the offense, and that's specifically shot selection. It took them quite a bit of time to figure out Matt Murray, and that you have to beat him high. Now, that said, that's leading to a lot of shots that aren't even making it to the net. And I'm not even talking block shots. I'm talking shots that completely miss the net. I don't care if they get 20 to 30 shots or 40 or more shots. You're not going to score if it doesn't make it on net. And they have to find a way to maximize each scoring opportunity and make the goalie work for the save. And unfortunately, too many of the shots are just completely missing the net. Now, I don't mind if they take a shot too much and it gets blocked. Defenseman wants to put himself in harm's way, that's fine. Then he puts himself at risk. Legs have been broken that way. Ask Gregory Campbell. But the point is to get it on net and make the goalie get a hold of it before it has a chance. There's a chance to score. There's a chance for it to go over the goal line and into the net. It's got to make it to the net first. So, and out of those three, I think if the first one is taken care of more than anything, then they stand a chance to win. Now, the last one, if that isn't taken care of, that unfortunately may end up being the deciding factor. If they can't score, then they can't win. But you have a chance as long as you keep your end clean. And adding one more note to that, I think we've seen, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on who, how much you like him, I think we've seen the last of Mike Weber. His mistake led to the OT goal in Game 4, and the guy just hasn't done very well in Pittsburgh. So I don't think we'll be seeing any more of him at all. And after the season, he is a free agent. So now on to the three things that don't scare me, and the most obvious of which is Braden Holtby. The man, we can all say, did not have a great Game 4, at least by his standards, but bounced back with what can be arguably said as one of his greatest performances, if not for this year, then of all time, with several saves making the highlight reel. And he showed just why he is the odds-on favorite to win the Vezina, and perhaps should have been a candidate for the Hart. Speaking of which, I like Robbie Gross's comment on his most recent show about Sidney Crosby having a good half season and that being enough to be a candidate for the Hart. Well, that's really nice that the Professional Hockey Writers Association deems a half season, a good half season, to be adequate for Hart Trophy consideration. I'm really glad to know that. That really puts my trust in people like Greg Wyshynski and Kevin Allen, the largest bunch of lazy-ass sports writers, the largest collection of lazy-ass sports writers I've ever seen in my life, just simply hand him a nomination for having a good half season and sulking in the first that the coach wasn't letting him play his way. It's absolute ridiculousness. That's why the Vezina is more often than not, when the Vezina, whoever wins the Vezina, is always someone deserving. Because that's one of the few trophies that's voted on by hockey people. The Vezina is voted on by the 30 general managers of the National Hockey League, not a bunch of hockey writers, not the media, but actual hockey people. So every time you see who wins the Vezina, you know it's somebody that's been watched and evaluated and judged by someone of his peers, and definitely deserves it. But Holtby had a spectacular game, and that certainly helped, because, as I said in scary item number one, Penguins had an awful lot of dangerous chances. And Holtby did his job, and then some, as the last line of defense. Okay, non-scary thing number two. This whole non-story of who's going to start in goal for the Penguins, I don't know if they're trying to psychoanalyze themselves or psych themselves up or out or what. But I think if you're the Caps, you don't pay any attention to it, because you've proven you can get to Fleury if he gets the start. Plus he's got about a month and a half worth of rust to shake off. And you've proven that you can get to Murray now. Yeah, you've handed him two bad losses now. So you're halfway home. So neither goalie should scare the Capitals at this point. They've proven that they've had success against both of them. So it's not as if there's anything new there. So that whole talk, that whole non-story, I don't know who started it, but it's a non-starter. It's a non-story. It doesn't scare me in the least. I'm not going to say what the Penguins should do, because it doesn't really matter. And not so scary thing number three. His name? Jason Chimera. Whole series long, we've heard about how the speed of the Penguins has been a factor in that there's no way that the Caps would keep up with them. Well, there's one guy in particular that I think can keep up with them, and he's done more than his share of keeping his end clean, and not only that, making his end, making everything on his side of the game tough to play against. And I'm kind of feeding off of a Twitter comment by Joe Beninati, and I'll just go ahead and quote him. It would be great to see Chimmer break through in Game 6. He makes a good playoff habit of it. And what he's talking about is the fact that Chimera, more often than not, he will come out of nowhere and dominate a game. Maybe not a whole series, but he will come out of nowhere and just take the game and make it his own, and no one can touch him. He did it last year against the Islanders, and I think it would be great if he could do it now. There's no better time at like the present, as they say. So look for him to have a great game. And even if he doesn't put the puck in the net, I think you will get nothing less than a maximum effort from him. He has the grit to make life miserable for the defense and the goalie, getting in their faces. I mean, let's face it. Who has been in the middle of more scrums than he has, with the possible exception of Tom Wilson? And that's all I've seen anyways, is Chimera getting in somebody's face. And in a series that can go seven games, you get tired of trying to keep up with a guy like that. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him imposing his will and putting in maybe one or two. Now, you fans of advanced stats, you're probably going to hate this one, but I have to point out that in the chaos of things that happened with all the special teams and whatnot in Game 5, Jason Chimera was a plus one, which in a game like that is pretty good. Yes, I will agree. Plus minus does not tell the whole story. Of course it doesn't. But it does tell some of the story. It says you're at the right place at the right time. In the playoffs, to win, sometimes all you need is to be at the right place at the right time. I hope everybody sees where I'm going with this. I really think we cannot, it's bad of me to say, I know, but we cannot rely on Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie all the time. It's got, the greatest teams have that supporting cast to kick in and have that great game out of nowhere. And I really have a feeling that it's going to come from Chimera. Or perhaps a guy like Mike Richards that I mentioned earlier in the last series, who has been quietly effective on his end, getting some scoring chances and keeping his part of the ice clean. Now, I'm going to add one more thing, and this is a bit of a convenient segue. Well, but actually, before I get to that, I just remembered something. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Of course, Capitals are getting Brooks Orpik back from his three-game suspension. And, of course, I alluded to the fact that the defense had no presence, no backbone, no spine. Well, now they've got it back. Now they've got their strongman back. And I hope he has learned his lesson. Because no doubt that I think the Penguins are going to try to take advantage of the fact that he has a recent history. So Orpik, I think, has to play a tough but smart game. Nothing over the edge, but just tough enough to keep the opposition from getting positioning in front of the net. Tough enough so that they can't move it along the boards. But nothing over the line. For God's sakes, nothing over the line. So, with that, I'm going to get to this last part, which a lot has been made, and I'm a history guy, made no secret of that. A lot has been made of the history angle and the fact that, for the most part, Caps haven't just, you know, had a whole lot of success in the past. But in a funny kind of way, I think history's on our side. And those of you who've been with the, following the team the whole, this whole time, I think you know where I'm going with this. I kind of mentioned it before. The Washington Capitals have come back from a 3-1 deficit before. It has happened. Yes, it was 28 years ago. Whole other time, whole other team. But it has happened. And they're a third of the way home. And they can get two-thirds of the way there and bring it back home later on this week by winning tonight. The 1988 divisional semifinal against the Philadelphia Flyers was probably one of the greatest playoff series I've ever had the pleasure to witness in my whole life. And this is someone who sat through, you know, the closest, one of the closest final series in 1999, Stars Sabres, and watched all five Oilers triumphs and all three Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup wins. But this series ranks right up there as one of the all-time greatest series because of the way they came back, because of their resiliency, and of, yes, because of the exclamation point at the end with Dale Hunter scoring the overtime goal. We all know how that went. Larry Murphy digs it out of the boards, out of the corner of his eye, spots Hunter streaking across the red line, throws him the pass. He beats the defenseman, puts it five-hole past Ron Hextall and into the goal. Now, is it going to take something like that? It just might, because this series has been a lot closer than people think. But what I'm saying is it can be done. History isn't all about people who win. History is about people who survive something and make good on it. Does this team have what it takes to make good on its promise? I say yes. And they can do it by staying true to themselves, by playing the way that got them here in the first place. 60 minutes or more if necessary. 200 feet, end board to end board. And for God's sakes, if you got to lose a battle, then make the other guy earn it. And mistake-free hockey for as long as you can play it. Hard to the net. Pucks in deep. All of the old-time cliches. Yes, throw them out there. You know why they keep saying it? Because it works. Always has, always will. Because that's how the game is meant to be played. And if this team plays the the way they can play, and the game was meant to be played, they can't fail. History's on their side because it can be done, and it has been done. I don't care what Pittsburgh brings. I don't care what they do. I don't care if tonight's refs screw up that badly. It can all be overcome. Tonight's refs, by the way, are Gord Dwyer and Eric Furlatt, who have a combined playoff experience of 18 games between them. But don't let that scare you. I'm neither scared nor not scared of that. And if the game goes the way it should, you won't even notice them. That's their job. But despite all of that, anything outside is nothing to be concerned with. All they have to be concerned with is play the way they were meant to play. Creativity, flow, correct and timely positioning, puck movement, puck possession. I'm not saying things that haven't already been said. I'm not saying things that we don't already know. Of course I'm stating the obvious. I have my Captain Obvious hat on. But has been said in the past, it's not always that you have the skill. Do you have the will? This team has it. And they need to put it on display. Just two more times to get to that next round. Two more times to get over that hill so that they can at least see the promised land. It can happen. And there ain't nothing to it but to do it. So with that, I will climb down off of my pulpit and wish all my fellow Caps fans well tonight. I will be watching, of course. And I don't think there's really anything else to say. I want to thank everybody for listening. Comments, suggestions, complaints, what have you. BlueLiner77@gmail.com. BlueLiner77@gmail.com. Or you can look for me. I'm the wrinkled, rumpled, dejected red hat on the Caps 365 edits page. Once again, that's the Caps 365 edits page hosted by our wonderful graphic designer, Billy Lang. And so with that, wishing the Caps good hockey. Let's go, Caps.